Good morning, everyone. Happy Wednesday. Thank you for joining us on the Grace Hour Show, our Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges, helps us to learn about our faith in a practical way. My name's Matt Garrett.
I'm Jesse Fires.
There he is. I didn't even have to say his name today. He did it. He took care of it.
I like to switch it up.
Yeah, I like it too. That's great. Today we're finishing off our short week on the three things that we are most thankful for. A fitting theme, I would say, for the week leading up to Thanksgiving Day. I hope you're ready for some turkey and some football and some napping and maybe a turkey bowl. I don't know about what your family does, but a lot of times my family used to get together and have a mean flag football game, sometimes tackle football game the morning of, just to make sure we had one visit to the hospital during every holiday. That was basically the point as far as I understood.
So such good memories though, doing that. We'd come home just dirty and beat and
Turkey's feast. Ready? Great. Let's go. Like we just go hop in the shower and we come out and everything's laid out. We had nothing to do with any of it. Wow. Yeah, I'm ready to eat. What do you got for me?
Yeah.
And then you complain about like that one piece of food in the whole table, that one piece of food that you don't like.
For sure.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Hey, three things we're most thankful for. Today specifically, we're talking about the riches that we have in fellowship with other believers, the gift of walking together. And to get the topic kicked off, I'm going to read from 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. A couple times the word fellowship is used right here at the beginning of the epistle. And this is what John says. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. So here comes fellowship. I think it's used twice in the same verse. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So not to be super nerdy for you guys, but just for a minute, the Greek word for fellowship used by John in this epistle is koinonia, and it really basically we could boil it down to a simple meaning of thinking with Christ. There's a couple other ways to describe it: joint participation, having like-minded thoughts with each other, but really having the same mind, very similar to the way that Paul talks about it in Philippians chapter 2, having the same mind as Christ. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, then, and another person believes that same thing, like, then you have fellowship one with another. That's like the biblical definition of fellowship.
Yeah. Wow.
So what does that mean to us? Like, we're having a funny conversation before the show starts. Coke or Pepsi? Jesse, what's your answer? Coke or Pepsi?
I like Coke. But Pepsi, if it's cherry Pepsi, so I'll, you know, cherry Coke, you know, Pepsi, cherry Pepsi, I'd like cherry Pepsi.
So you prefer wild cherry Pepsi over cherry Coke.
Yeah, Pepsi.
But otherwise, you like Coke over Pepsi.
Pepsi needs a little bit, but overall, I would say DP, Dr. Pepper, come on.
Dr. Pepper, 23 flavors packed into one. Just come here for all of your random soft drink advertisement questions. We're having this conversation jokingly, thinking about people in the world who are diehard Coke fans versus people in the world who are diehard Pepsi fans, and how they might look at each other, and because of that one random point of disagreement, this one acquired taste that this group has and the one acquired taste the other group has, they cannot connect with each other.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with what we're talking about today when we talk about fellowship. We're really speaking about the things that are connected to Jesus Christ. Like, I love the way John starts the epistle out. He says, all of us, like speaking of the apostles, all of us have seen him, have heard from him, have handled him. Like our hands have handled the word of life. It was manifested before us. All of this is important when it comes to real fellowship with another believer. This can take place in a marriage. This can take place in a godly friendship. This can take place the moment after a person is saved, and you're on the street having evangelism and someone comes to Christ, all of a sudden there's a change that takes place. You go from not being associated with each other because one's a child of light and one's a child of darkness to having the like-mindedness of Christ in that moment.
Yeah. And I think our pastor recently talked about this, just Christ was sitting with sinners, right?
Yeah.
And scorners, but he wasn't like a part of them. Like he wasn't, you know, having fellowship in that. Like he was changing the atmosphere in a way, like he was bringing himself into it as he is the light. Mm-hmm. And that's what we can do too as well, but we don't have fellowship with them. Like we're not always constantly being with, you know, the world or the sinners, and because that can distort, you know, many things. And that's a different topic, but really like the church is like the called out ones, right? Where believers are set apart. Like,
yeah,
we are different. We're different from the world. And one way that we're showing that we're different is that like we're able to have fellowship on a deeper level than just these, worldly things. Like, you know, my preferences versus yours or how I look or, you know, who I was, who you are. Mm-hmm. None of that really matters in the body of Christ because we're all one together, as we stated like previously, I think a week ago.
Yeah.
And that's what makes us unique. And that's what makes, you know, a follower of Christ unique is just he gives us a new mind that like, can you, like this mind that like he forgets the sins of the world or like he forgets your sins, right?
Yeah.
And, remembers them no more. Like, oh, I want that mind where I could forget the things I should forget, like Christ does, and I should remember the things I should remember, you know, like, he remembers your, labor. What's that verse I'm thinking of? He remembers your, labor of love.
Maybe.
Come on.
Maybe.
Mm. Your labor and love. But anyways, but he's remembering the good things and forgetting the bad things. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But naturally us, we like to, you know, remember the things that are, you know, terrible.
Yes.
And just like, oh, I remember what that person did. But that's what makes, you know, the body of Christ is what we're talking about in fellowship in that so different is we could be so different in so many ways outwardly and, on the outside, but on the inside, Christ makes us one and we are one. And there's unity in that and there's strength in unity as Psalm 133:1, you know, says how good mm-hmm. and pleasant it is when people live together in unity.
Yeah.
And I was thinking like, you know, there's that, reference about the braids, like the three chords and you tie them together. They're a lot stronger than separate.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about, and I was thinking about, Rapunzel's hair. Like Rapunzel's hair was definitely braided because she let that thing out the window. And if it wasn't braided, I'm guaranteeing no one's climbing up Rapunzel's hair. So Rapunzel's hair is braided, and that's how you're able to climb up that.
Gosh, wow. We just went from Bible reference straight to Disney fairy tale. I love it.
Come on.
That was great.
Let's
wow,
go.
That was so quick. That was just like, man, I didn't know what to do with that. But I enjoyed the illustration. I enjoyed it. Yeah. So the verse you were thinking of is Hebrews 6:10. He will not forget your labor of love. Yeah, right?
Hebrews 6:10.
Yeah, thank Hebrews you. 6. It's a good one. I really love that verse. And then you were talking about Psalm 133. Like there's a blessing commanded to people who dwell together in unity. But the point I really want to make just to get started is that the unity is not based on anything other than Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Yeah.
If you and I agree that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, like if, sorry to call out another name group, but like if you're a Mormon sitting across from me, you do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You believe that he becomes a God and you believe that he takes control of a world and births his own world. And you believe that the same, you would be able to do the same thing one day. Like we wouldn't have fellowship because we both would need to start like, okay, that's like an extreme example. Take a really simple example. You and I are both baseball fans. We probably don't cheer for the same team. I have no idea. Who's your team?
Detroit Tigers.
Of course it is. Oh my gosh. Of course it's Detroit. No. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I liked watching Justin Verlander when he was a Detroit Tiger.
Oh, yeah.
That's about the only name I could call out from any time in history.
Scherzer.
Miguel. Scherzer.
Yeah.
Scherzer
we had both of them.
At the same
Miguel
time,
Miguel Cabrera. We'll talk about it.
You had a couple.
I'm trying to forget these things.
But like our fellowship would not be based on the fact that you're a Tigers fan and I'm a Pirates fan. Like it would, we wouldn't have anything in common to speak of. But despite the fact that we have different baseball team preferences, we both agree that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that's where our fellowship is derived from. That's where the blessing comes in. So you have a group meeting together in a church or in a Bible study or getting together to worship, like, you know, an outdoor worship, whatever. I don't know. The culminated, the what's the central factor of whether or not that group is in fellowship is if they are lifting up Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's correct. That's it. You can have a group, talk about politics this and politics that, and it's not going to get you anywhere. Yeah. You're going to find people on either side of the political spectrum and you're not going to get anywhere with that. But if you're talking about Jesus Christ, everyone can get behind that.
Yeah.
Like he did something far greater than any politician will ever do for us.
Yeah.
He paid for our sins. He didn't give us more reason to sin. He didn't give us more ways to accomplish our misdeeds and circumvent the law and whatever else, whatever thing you could make up to think about in your brain. But Jesus Christ came here, paid for our sins, put them on his account, told us that our account was wiped clean, that they don't exist anymore, and said, you have fellowship with you because of what I've done.
Yeah.
And that makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah. And we think about like the Trinity, because that's like perfect unity right there.
Yeah.
Embodied unity right there. Like that is it. And so now as us, like as fallen beings, like, we're trying to receive this unity,
yeah.
you know, and it's very hard, but he gives us the tools is what you're saying. The word of God, he gives us the church, the body of Christ, and he gives us his spirit. You know, he gives us these tools to become unified because you have a flesh, you have differences, you have different languages, looks, all these things, but you could become one. And it's only through these things. And what would you say? Cause like in today's world, a lot of people are like, kind of like a do it myself kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't need anyone mindset. Mm-hmm. And I think through scripture, like it's clearly seen that like there's something so special about, or so rich, for fellowship. You like that?
But there's
something so rich because in fellowship, and it's true. Like in the beginning, like, you know, God was walking with Adam in the garden. Mm-hmm. God said it wasn't good for man to dwell alone. We see even Moses is starting to lead his people, and he's like, you know, he puts his father-in-law in there. Hey, you shouldn't do this alone. It's not good for you to take all these burdens.
Yeah.
Jesus himself, the Son himself came, and what did he have? He had disciples. He had people around him.
Nice.
There's so much, and there's an important thing about fellowship and unity. So what would you say to like either that or just the person who's like, I don't really need it. I can do it, and I'm doing good, you know?
That's a great question because a lot of us live there. We heard about it a little bit last night. That's basically a form of pride to say that you don't need anyone or anything, that you can do it just fine on your own. Man, what would we say to a person who's in that attitude or thinking about life that way? I'm better off on my own. Like there's a woman the other day who drove her car off into the Inner Harbor in Baltimore to try to end her life.
Wow.
And luckily, like everyone was able to get to her and pull her out before she drowned. But a couple days later, she ended up succumbing to her injuries and passed away anyway. Like, how do you get to the point where you're so fed up with life that it's either I can do it by myself or actually I can't do it at all, and you just give up? This is where having a godly brother or sister makes all the difference in the world. Having someone who's praying for you, having someone who's there to encourage you, or even just to listen to you when you're going through something.
Yeah.
That makes all the difference in the world. To be able to know that like you are not walking through life all by yourself is paramount to our survival, just in real life.
Yeah.
Like if it's left up to us and our own heads and the thoughts that go through them, how quickly do those spiral out of control?
Yeah.
How quickly, like there's a real life, real case scenario. I literally just had this conversation with my wife. There's a pack of coyotes roaming through like the area where we live. In Parkville.
Where do you get your news from?
No, this is like, this is real. This is happening. There's a pack of coyotes moving through like Double Rock Park. And I just get like all the worst thoughts in the world. Like, what happens if we take our kids there? And, like, you know, they go back, walk into the back of the woods to where the creek is just to have some fun, just to enjoy. And then a pack of coyotes shows up. Like what? Me left to myself and my own thoughts, I would not be able to think straight about that scenario. And I would be living fearfully. I would be living a sheltered life. I would not let my kids out of my sight kind of thing. But that's like no way to live life.
Yeah.
You know, it takes another godly person to instill some objectivity into your heart and mind and say, well, okay, yeah, worst case scenario, I understand what you're saying, but is that likely? You know, and do you trust God? And do you know that he's for you? And that if something like that were to happen, like it's just like, how far do you want your own mind to go in those situations?
Yeah.
But you have a brother, like it says in the book of Proverbs, there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Mm. Now that's really like Jesus Christ. Like he's in us and he sticks closer to us than anyone else could possibly stick to us. But that's also your husband or your wife. Mm. That's also your best friend in the Lord. That's also the person who knows when they look at you that something's off, and they know when to ask you.
True.
Hey, is everything okay? Having that person in your life changes you. It really does.
Yeah. We could read scripture too, Ecclesiastes 4:9. This is the most common one.
Oh yeah.
You know, great, two are better than one. Chapter 4, verse 9. Because they have good reward for their labor. Verse 10, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he has not another to help him up. So in simple terms, like we fall. We get tired. We get discouraged. We discourage ourselves. And I was thinking just like, like our own mind deceives us. We think, you know, negative thoughts. We think about the coyote and doing all these things. But it's like, even if our heart deceives us, God is greater than our heart.
Amen.
Because, you know, I'm alone and I want to be with somebody or with people, but then I'm with people and then I want to be alone.
Like, or I feel alone.
That is, like, this is my mind. This is my heart. And it's so it deceives me so much. Mm-hmm. But in going back to your first point, like in the body of Christ is something different, something special.
Yeah.
Because there's eternal words being spoken to me that can speak to my heart and calm my heart down. And they can heal me and they can do so many different things. But here, like, it's so much better to have two people, because we'll hit walls. And what is God's solution is fellowship. That is amazing.
Yes.
The solution is fellowship.
It really is. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. Pastor Steve has been harping on this verse for the past like two, maybe 3 weeks.
Oh, yes.
He brought it up again last night in our church service. He said, this is the ultimate verse on the presence of God. Ready?
He said, this is the start of the church, right?
This is the start of the church. Yeah. That's what he said. Yeah. Well, I think he said both at two different times.
It's good.
For where two or three are gathered together in my name, that right there is the definition of fellowship.
In my name.
There am I in the midst of them. Mm. Like that's what Christ wants. So there's times the word fellowship is used throughout the Bible where you know that like if you are doing these things with another believer, you're going to have a great time. You may not think it. You might be scared to do it by yourself, like go out on evangelism. That's a really, intimidating task to go and try to accomplish on your own. Mm-hmm. But when you're with a brother or sister, evangelism is just so much easier. It says to have fellowship in the gospel. I think it's Philippians chapter 1, verse 5. Paul says it at the beginning of his epistle there, having fellowship in the gospel. So you can equate that to having fellowship with another believer in evangelism. you're never going to feel alone when you're with another person and both of you are talking about Christ to another person. Or maybe one of you is doing the talking and the other one is praying, but there's still fellowship right there.
Yeah.
Like you feel connected. The same thing happens. I think it's Acts chapter 2, verse 42. You have fellowship in teaching. You have fellowship in communion. You have fellowship in praying. You have an issue in your life and you're not feeling great about it. The worst thing you can do is keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
The absolute worst thing you can do is keep it to yourself. You know, Saul had an issue with David and he just let it like fester in his brain and play over and over again. Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s, and like so much so he picks up the spear and tries to kill David. How about just expressing it? How about just expressing whatever's going on in your heart and mind, asking someone for prayer for a situation that you're dealing with in your life? That brings you and that other person together. That gives a reason for both of you to connect with each other again at a later point. Like, hey, I've been praying for you for this thing. How's everything going? It adds so much more to our lives when we include another believer or another individual.
Yeah. And like you're saying, it's get it out because it's going to come out either way.
Mm-hmm.
Better to get it out sooner, right? Because then that it could be
squashed.
Squashed. Something like that. I was thinking just like a flame is going, so you put it down.
Yes.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
I can't think of words all the time.
Me either.
Lord help me. Lord help us. Amen. But
I blame COVID.
But get it out sooner.
Yeah.
Is better because it's going to fester and it's going to cause problems and many spiritually, physically, mm-hmm. emotionally, all these things. And it reminds me of that James 5:16 verse, confess your faults one to another.
Yes.
Pray for one another that you may be healed.
Nice.
That you may be healed. It doesn't say keep your struggles private.
Yeah.
Or pretend everything's fine. That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people ask, how you doing? You know, it's just like, oh, I'm good. We have this natural
facade.
Yeah, this repetition. We already know what we're going to say.
Yeah.
And we kind of just keep it into ourselves. And I got it handled. But no, it's like we need the body. We need fellowship. And this verse is beautiful because it says healing comes through this connection, through this honest connection.
Ooh.
Confess your faults and pray for one another. Two beautiful things.
Yeah.
And I was thinking we could get so timid and uneasy because me going to a brother and confessing my faults and my sins, I don't naturally like that.
I don't want to give that person that power in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just uncomfortable, mm-hmm. just getting it out. It feels, but it's so good because there's let's focus on the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
And the outcome is what? Healing.
Healing. Wow.
I can get healed from that. Let me not focus on my sin and my faults and all these things mm-hmm. that really bother me. Let me focus on the outcome. Okay, I'm doing this because I need healing.
Yeah.
I know there's a problem.
Yeah. Well, it says in the book of John, men are lovers of darkness. Mm. And we love to live in the dark, like hiding things from people, hiding things from ourselves, hiding things from those closest to us. We love that.
Yeah.
But what's the worst possible thing for darkness? Also in the book of John, what's the worst possible thing for darkness?
Worst possible. So that means light.
Light. Absolutely. The light shines in darkness and the darkness does not know how to comprehend it. The darkness can't. Ephesians chapter 5 says once it's reproved with the light, it's out in the open. That's it. There's no more power to it. Let it out in the open. Wow. Okay. You have an issue that you're dealing with. You just struggle consistently with whatever this issue is. Say you can't bring it to a brother or sister. If it's that personal, you can't bring it to a brother or sister. Start by casting your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you.
Good.
Take that first step, like confess to Christ. Christ wants and desires the same fellowship that we're talking about that you can have with a brother or sister. And when you get comfortable doing that, then you can start James 5:16, confessing your faults one to another. Maybe it's not everything. It's like neither one of us need a priest to absolve our sins, but we do need a friend to hold us up in prayer. We do need a person to come check in on us whenever we we've been like MIA for 3 days.
Yeah.
You know, it's important that you have someone there that you're able to. That also reminds me, what is it? 1 John 1:7. Like you can only have fellowship with another believer if you're walking in the light. Mm. You can't have fellowship with another believer if you're walking in darkness and they're walking in the light and vice versa.
Yeah.
It has to be you both walking in the light. If you're both walking in the light, like how great of a power is that against darkness and all the things that come at you in your soul, all the projections that come through your mind. You have a brother or a sister walking next to you saying, no, that's a vain imagination. Like that's exalting itself against God. What do we do with those? We cast those down. Mm. Oh, thank you so much for saying that. I needed that outside objective viewpoint to tell me that my thoughts are erroneous or they're just so fabricated or so blown up out of proportion that it's so good to have someone walk alongside you.
Yeah. And like you're saying, we don't need to go and tell everybody, like tell it to people who God leads you to, the people that you trust. And
mm-hmm.
we should have those brothers and sisters around us. And like you're saying that verse, 1 John 1:7, but verse 8 says, if we, you know, say that we have no sins, we deceive ourselves. So it's just like, if I'm the person that the person's confessing their sins to me, mm-hmm. it's just like, okay, humble myself too as well, because I have sin. I know it. I'm a sinner.
Yeah.
And so it's like two imperfect people. And that's where like God, right, demands a blessing, right? It's just like two broken, humble people being open, being honest, being real. Because that's why Jesus was with the sinners and the people messed up, because they were, and they're open about it. Like, they're struggling.
Yes.
But the Pharisees over here are saying, we have no problems at all.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just judging.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so good to be broken and honest, because that's when, like, the Spirit is really moving. And, so, wow, good stuff.
Yes.
Where can we go next? Maybe we could talk about, how about this one? I was thinking about this, just being with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't have to, you know, if I'm just with somebody, just the gift of someone's presence is huge.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be an agenda, or it doesn't have to be scripted. I have a whole sermon to preach to this brother.
Yeah.
How about just being and listening to a brother? And Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn.
Yes.
I think it's so beautiful when we just like, we don't have to have an agenda. Like, we don't have to have this plan. Like, just let God do the work. Let God speak through you.
Yeah.
And he'll do it. And so just an ear, just being with somebody is really sometimes, wow, that's all I needed.
Yeah.
I just needed a brother. I just needed to talk it out.
Yeah.
And like, that's amazing.
And maybe you wouldn't have done it if you weren't around that person.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't have happened. But you guys are together. It doesn't have to be anything formal. It doesn't have to be anything scripted. What did we talk about last week? Like, putting it in your schedule, when talking about investing in other people, like you can't, it's not, a robotic thing. Like, oh, it's in my schedule. I'm gonna talk to this person. This is how it's gonna go. We're gonna overcome some things together. And we're moving forward.
We're
moving mountains with that mustard seed of faith that neither one of us has. it's not meant to be scripted.
Yeah.
It's just meant to be life giving. That's what fellowship, the Koinonia fellowship is. It's life giving. Mm-hmm. It's united thinking. It's life giving. It's really life sharing.
Yeah.
So when you're together, it's just happening. And again, what's the common factor? It's both of you have Christ in you.
Yes.
Both of you have Christ in you. When Christ is in you and Christ is in that other person, guess what? Jesus knows how to talk to himself. He did it for all of eternity. Like you said, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They had no issue or break in fellowship ever. Okay. Mm. They can figure it out. If you put two Christians together in a dark place, they're going to shine light in ways that they probably never could have imagined.
Mm. Yeah.
There's also like other really cool impacts of just being together with another person, another believer. I like the way that 1 John puts it. What does he say? 1 John chapter 1, verse 4. These things write we unto you that your joy may be full. like a really great benefit of having fellowship with other believers is kind of like to get, think about it. Like you go to the gas station, your tank is running low. You need to put some gas in the car to keep it going. Mm. Well, sometimes like you just get busy with life and you just get one thing after the next, after the next, after the next. And you realize, oh man, I haven't like been with a brother or sister in a while. And you stop and you make an attempt to fill up the tank. Mm. And that's really what happens. Your joy is like refilled.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a benefit that you can't really even quantify. I give you this picture as if we can quantify it, but we can't quantify it. It just happens when you're with each other.
Yeah. And it reminds me of Galatians 6:2, carry one another's burdens.
Yeah.
And in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. That's amazing. Like burden carrying.
Yeah.
And it could be in so many different ways, you know. It could be financially, it could be, you know, anxiety or stress that's on another person. And then you just come alongside,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You just come alongside them and you help them in some way. And that's amazing because that could be a brother's prayer. I know many times in my life I had certain prayers about certain things I was just stressed about.
Yeah.
And it was just someone calling me or someone giving me a text or just, you know, hugging me in the church, a hug.
Yeah.
Like something so simple that
when a hug hits different.
it does.
It does, yeah.
What's our brother named? Jerry from PA. Jerry.
He's got a hugging ministry.
He's got a hugging anointing on that man's life. Guys, but that's in Pastor Justin was sharing that a little bit Sunday night. And then also Sunday morning, I went to his Fed Hill service, just like the different gifts of the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And we all have different gifts.
Yeah.
We all have different measures too, as well. Maybe I'm lacking something that you have for me. Mm-hmm. And that's important. That's what we're kind of saying here is just like, why is it so rich? Why is it so important to gather?
Mm.
Is because there's these different bodies of Christ that Jesus Christ himself is giving to each individual member.
Yeah.
And I can benefit from it.
Yeah.
And then vice versa, I could also give to another brother who needs this encouragement. And that's where you see in that Ephesians verse, the fullness
yes.
of God is yeah. just when these imperfect people coming together with their little gifts and their little faith, and they come together and they're stronger like Rapunzel's hair and they build one another up and we're just climbing, baby.
Yes.
And, yeah. So, but that it's such a gift to, share one another's burdens because we cannot do it alone. And, that's such a picture of Christ for us.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Oh man. We even see this in the Old Testament. I don't know if you've thought about it, but you know, you have Saul and David's relationship and it's just rocky the whole time. But it's right away. It's right after David defeats Goliath. This relationship forms between David and Jonathan.
Mm.
And it says something really cool in the King James. It says, and Jonathan's soul was knit to David's.
Knit
to David's, like literally tied in.
Yeah.
This is what we think of when we think of Ephesians 4:16, where the body of Christ is fitly framed and every joint supplies. It's like knit together. The funny illustration I always give when I teach it is it's like you sign up for a three-legged race with someone and you initially start by tying your legs together, right? And it's awkward at first, but by the end of the race, there's no longer a rope there and your legs are just fused together. This is like the idea of Jonathan's soul being knit to David's. It's like they were just fused together. This is why in the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we give more abundant honor to the weaker vessels because maybe my forearm is fused to that member's hand in the body of Christ. Maybe we're so intertwined and connected that without the other, like what good would my forearm be if there wasn't a hand attached to it on the end? What, like, could you imagine? I mean, people do walk around without hands, but like what benefit does this little piece of the arm have to us on a regular everyday basis if we don't have our hand and the five fingers attached?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's how important each member coming together is in the body of Christ, because every joint supplies. It is not a one man show. It will never be a one. The only one man show of Christianity is Jesus Christ. And all of us are connected to him. He's our head in Ephesians chapter one. Wow. So we always look to another body member. We always look to another believer and say, oh, you're important. How, like, maybe we have to ask ourselves these questions sometimes. Do I look at that person and think, hey, that person is important? Mm. And if I don't, okay, Lord, help me with that. Lord, why am I not seeing that person that way? How many people look at me with the disdain that I'm looking at that other person with? Like, Lord, help me with that.
Wow. Yeah. That's so good.
Yeah.
I mean, just the knitting aspect of it too as well. Like, yeah. I've seen, I don't see too many people knitting nowadays. I remember my grandma, she's a wonderful quilter and knitter. But well, nowadays,
you know, Rapunzel, she knitted her hair, as you've been saying.
Are you serious?
No.
Okay. You're ruining my... No,
oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I love you. No, but like, yeah, the knitting, it's just like, it's so amazing how intertwined it has to get. And it kind of gets a little messy, you know, in a way it's going in and out and it doesn't look like it's much, but then it comes and it's like so like strong mm-hmm. together
yeah.
because they're woven together. And so that process of the knitting may be difficult. We might feel that in our lives. It's maybe difficult for me to relate to another person in the body, or I'm so different, or I don't like this person the way they act. But it goes back to just like, we got to humble ourselves and we got to be submitted unto Christ, mm-hmm. be submitted unto him, and then submitted unto one another.
Yeah.
And that's just like the husband and wife in the Ephesians chapter, just like we're submitted to one another first, but we're submitted to Christ, you know, and then I'm able to submit one another. I can't submit to one another, you know, to another brother and sister without submitting to Christ first, like we're saying.
Yeah.
And through that, and I see in my walk, in my small life of church life that I have on this earth, I see just how much he teaches you in the body. He challenges you in the body. And it's so beautiful. It's like a school, like, right? Like, it's almost like a little school that we're yeah. learning. And what are we preparing for? We're preparing for, like, eternity in heaven yes. with him.
Yeah.
And
with each other.
Yeah. And with each other.
Yeah.
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 And then it would be a lot easier then, because it's, you know,
no sin nature's involved. That's right.
All that's gone.
Yeah.
You know, God, why can't it be easy right now? But no, it just shows that, like, how is the church still around? Mm-hmm. How is this body of Christ so joyful?
Yeah.
It's only by Christ and him alone and his word. And it's like, wow, like, everybody's different. There's so many people from different countries and yeah. whatnot. How are they able to have this unity? And it's only through what we're talking about, being yeah. submitted to Christ. And that's rich.
Yes.
So, did you have something, or we could talk about some practical ways, maybe, as
yeah,
well.
I was thinking, I mean, the whole,
it's easy to talk about.
Yeah, the whole theme of the week is being thankful for these things.
Okay, yeah.
So how could we maybe express our thanks to individuals, other believers in Christ? I know we talked about this last week in terms of trying to invest in others, but how about just forget about any sort of gain you think you might have by reaching out to a person? Just think about how much gain they might get mm. from you reaching out to them. Really simple methods these days: text or a phone call, picking up your phone and just saying, "Hey brother, thankful for you. Hey sister, thankful for you. Hey husband, hey wife, thankful for you. Like, hey, thanks for being with the kids all day. Hey, thanks for doing this thing or that thing," sending a little gift their way to let them know that you're thinking about them. Mm. What are some really practical ways we can let other people know we're thankful for them?
I think just showing up.
That's a big one. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we can make these plans, but acting upon them, you know, mm-hmm. Or we could say, I want to get better.
Following through.
Yeah. I want to get better at yeah. this, but, and it taking little steps, like it takes time.
Yeah.
You know? But I think in Acts, I think you mentioned this verse, is verse 42, Acts 2, 42, mm-hmm. about the first church, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. So there's much in there.
Yeah.
But this first early church, it just wasn't like it wasn't occasional. It was like a part of life.
It was almost every day. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like, I was thinking about this. Okay. What does that mean for us today?
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean I have to go to church all the time? You know, like, I think there's like almost like a threefold into this.
Okay.
Like there's one, there's like, yeah, I'm going to church and I'm receiving. Okay. And I'm in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Two, I think it's me getting involved in some way, whether mm-hmm. I'm serving, whatever way it is, small or big, I'm serving, whether a certain ministry, homeless ministry, whatever it is. And then three, I think it's like then the outward, you know, we're breaking bread
yeah.
at each other's homes.
Yeah.
You know, we're just having fun. I think that's so cool. Like, we just go out. Like, me and a brother went to Top Golf and then mini golf. And I was with his two kids and we're just like having fellowship and it's nice. Natural.
Yeah.
But, and that's how like we see, like, people are not going to come inside a church and say, wow, this is the body of Christ.
Yeah.
They're going to see it in the outside, really.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
They totally. Don't have like these not yet robots in here that are spying on us and like, wow, the body of Christ is cool. No, they see it outside in the world because they're in the world and they yeah. don't know about the body of Christ.
Yeah.
But then they see it in effect out, just like Jesus would go out and then he would send people in pairs of two and they would go out and they would be examples of the body of Christ. And then that's when we start to fellowship. We start to communicate with these people and then we invite them. We invite them to church. And
nice.
I think that's huge. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. So following through on plans, getting together with people and sticking with it. Great way to show your thankfulness. I like the idea of now that we have DoorDash and Instacart and all those other things, I forget what they're like, sending someone a surprise, DoorDash or a surprise meal or like, what's GoPuff, a surprise like treat?
Powder
like,
Puff? What are you talking about?
You know, it's like for like the little, like the snack cravings. I don't know anything about GoPuff. Forget
foods?
It. No. GoPuff is like a DoorDash like app. It's an app like that, but it's literally for like cravings. It's like, give me that Haagen-Dazs ice cream. You know what I mean? Like, no one's open right now except that one mini mart 10 miles away. So you use GoPuff to get it to, not that I know anything
from
about
experience.
That. Okay. Definitely from experience. you know, send someone a surprise, whatever the case may be.
How about this one?
Yeah.
Praying, with people.
Yes.
Not just for people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Someone That's says huge. To you, hey, can you pray for this thing for me?
Yeah.
And you're like, right. and you're like, yeah, sure.
Bye.
See you.
So many times.
No, that's, but
why do
right,
we want to
but
do
right
that?
Then and there. And yeah. that's all of our reactions. We
I
all
know.
Do that.
That's what I'm saying. Why do we do that?
Right. So right then and there, taking a minute.
Yeah.
And praying.
It's
like
amazing.
When students come and visit me in my office at the Bible college, at the end of most conversations, I can't say all, but most conversations, like, hey, is there anything I can pray for you for? And then before they leave, I'm like, can I pray right now? Because I know that if we don't do it, then if I didn't write it down, my brain's just not going to get it done. So take the opportunity right then and there. And it's encouraging for both of you. It's encouraging for both of you.
And that's just like an act of faith, right? Like, it's just, can I humble myself? Take that minute of time.
Yeah.
But every time I do it, I like, wow. Like, okay. Mm-hmm. There is something amazing here because I'm doing it. I'm taking action right now by faith.
Yeah.
And I'll leave you this last verse. I thought it was so precious in Psalm 68, verse 6. Do you know it by heart, Pastor Matt?
No, let's hear it, man.
How about you online?
Psalm 68:6.
Hurry up. If you don't know it, let's remember.
I bet you Aretta knows it. Aretta knows it, Psalm 68:6.
Is Aretta watching online?
Probably.
Psalm 68, verse 6 is precious, but is this the right
68,
verse?
68:6?
Yeah.
All right.
God sets the solitary in families.
Ooh.
He brings out those which are bound with change, but the rebellious dwell in dry land.
Dang.
The rebellious dwell in dry land. We didn't even talk about the rebellious that much, you know? We did. I mean, we go away. We want to have solitude and we
sure.
can do it ourselves. But yeah. How amazing it is, the solitary he sets in families. And
mm-hmm.
that's like the body of Christ. Like if you are lonely, if you are anxious, all of these things, like, just come to the body. Like, he'll set you in a family. and we're a crazy family.
Yes.
A lot of people like to talk about their crazy families, yeah, how loud they are.
Yeah.
We're all in.
Come to a church service. Yep.
And we got the spirit. Okay.
Yes.
The spirit is amazing.
Yes.
And there could be miracles done, whether it's a miracle of just someone getting encouraged, a mm-hmm. prayer, or someone receiving Christ. Just yeah. the miracles happen in church. And so, yeah.
Amen. So, hey, if you've never done it before, if you stumbled onto our podcast and heard us mumbling our way through this thing today, take a chance this Thanksgiving and go to a church service and see what it's all about. Go to a place where they preach the Bible and where people actually talk to each other after the service is over or before the service starts, because that's where fellowship is happening. That's where believers are like-minded together, lifting up Christ in their hearts and minds. And you'd be surprised at how you leave that meeting with more joy in your heart than you had before you came there. So that's our challenge for you this Thanksgiving. Thanks so much for listening, joining us today. We appreciate you guys. Have a great Thanksgiving holiday weekend. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. We will not be around the rest of the week. There might be some recordings or something, but nothing live the rest of the week. Jesse, thanks so much.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving, guys.
See ya.
See ya.